Only a few times in a decade do we find ourselves in this particular situation where we have, I don't know, 5 hours left of the fourth Sunday of Advent. The reality is, normally we have at least a couple of days to understand what the fourth Sunday of Advent and what the fourth week of Advent is about. We don't. We have hours. So I'm going to take the reality of the fourth week and smoosh it in. The entirety of the fourth week is about surrender. And what are we surrendering to? We're surrendering to a few things. But the primary reality that we're surrendering to is the fact that you and I are called to something we are wholly unprepared for. It's a surrender of obedience. Because here's the reality, the entire kind of theme about Advent, if you want to give it one, is preparation to be unprepared. Because if you and I think that we are ready for the incarnation, we're dead wrong. If you and I think that we're ready even for the Mass right now, we're not. Even if we've done all of our prayers, and we've read over the readings and everything like that, there is no feasible way for us to be prepared for the incarnation of the Son of God. We can't be prepared for that, because that fundamentally changes reality. And it's a beautiful thing. Why? Because then when we find ourselves slightly prepared, anticipating, expecting, longing, and our Lord shows up at an hour we do not know, we eagerly open the door to him. So how did this Mass start? As you kind of know, I've been going through the prayer at the beginning of Mass throughout Advent. The collect today says, "Pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our heart." Grace. Here's the thing. We don't know what grace is, typically. So, what is grace? And I'm not talking about you praying over your food. That is grace. But I'm talking more about what is theologically grace. Theologically, what grace is, it's the created way that we participate in the uncreated God. That's what grace is. And we see that throughout all of the readings. So in the first reading, we get from the book of the prophet Samuel, the coming of David into Jerusalem. And then he creates himself a palace out of cedar. And then he's pondering, almost kind of ashamed, by the reality that he's in a cedar temple, in essence. And God is under a tent. Now, to understand that, you have to realize that from the point of the Exodus, when God traveled with his people, when the ritual life of Israel started, the Ark of the Covenant was not in a permanent location. It was under tent cloth, the tabernacle, that would go before the people, and God would lead them into the Holy Land. When they got into the Holy Land, at Shiloh, there was a temporary kind of temple that was constructed, but the majority of it was still the tabernacle, was still the tent cloth. Then God forsook Shiloh because of sin, because Jerusalem was where he wanted to be. So then he enters into Jerusalem. He conquers the Jebusites, allows peace to be restored in that city. And then David establishes his own home, and then he says, "I'm here in a house of cedar. God's under a tent cloth. Something's wrong. I need to build him a house." Parents, you know this, and you know this well. When your kids say, "I want to do something for you," part of the response is, "Oh, bless your heart. you can't do anything. But I'm touched by the sentiment, this is how we receive what the Lord said. You want to build me a house of cedar? I have not complained once about being under a tent cloth. But because I refuse to be outdone in generosity, I will make you stable. You are my favored one. Oh, and by the way, from your line will come the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And then we go into the gospel. Kyrie, kecharitomene. You know me, we're going into Greek. Kyrie, kecharitomene. This is the biblical area where we figure out Mary's immaculate conception. But beyond that, it's her identity. Hail, you who have been filled from the very foundation of your existence with grace. You have found favor with God, Chayrin. Grace is not about us earning it. Grace is actually freely given. It's the love that the Lord has for us. But the thing is, we have to be disposed to receive said grace. Hence why I say we need to be prepared to be unprepared. Because if we think we can prepare ourselves to receive more and more grace, that's how we start falling into the heresy of Pelagianism. No, we can dispose ourselves more and more to say, this is an act of love for God, and I want to free myself to receive more and more of his gift. Because with God, nothing is impossible. So we pray, pour forth, we beseech you, O Lord, your grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ your Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought into the glory of the resurrection. It's all about him. It's all about creating space for him. So the fourth Sunday of Advent comes to us. And it comes to us begging that we leave behind everything else. Everything. Your expectations, my expectations. Your hopes, your dreams, my dreams. Good, bad, indifferent, everything goes. We have to be ready to receive the greatness of the one that completely changes everything. Because what does grace do? God became man that man might become God. That is the whole reason of the incarnation. That you and I, little, weak, and broken things that we are to be made new, restored, beautified, and restored to an area that we did not have before. We are meant to participate in God's very existence and his very life. Are you prepared for that? Am I prepared for that? There should be a resounding no. No. There's no way you can prepare yourselves for that, or for me to prepare myself for that. All we can do is dispose ourselves more and more to let him take control. Because the reality is, he comes like a thief in the night. In the dead of night, in a cave, rejected by his own city, born amongst animals, forgotten in a backwater town of a backwater province of the Roman Empire. The King of Kings begins. Our hearts are not much different than that cave. All it needs is one yes. We need to say with Mary, Ecce ancilla Domini, fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum. Behold, the handmaid, more closely defined and translated as the utter slave of the Lord. May it be done to me as you have said. Then and only then does Christmas reveal itself more fully. We've got four hours, more or less. We have to use that time wisely. Praised be Jesus Christ.